Welcome to episode 30 of Booty and Bossy Eat, Drink, Net.
So, Booty, before we start, I have a little bit of a public service announcement from Mom. Hi, Mom.
I'm on.
You remember in episode 29 when we were marveling at our analytics and the fact that we had listeners from most of the 50 states and all over the world, and we joked. And the emphasis is on the word joked. We joked, we made a funny that mom was paying all these people to listen to our podcast. And mom did not think that was funny. She was concerned that people might contact her about being paid. So we want to clarify for all of our listeners that mom is not going to pay you to listen to our podcast, and she doesn't pay us, and we've asked her for money and she doesn't give us money, so she's definitely not going to give you money. And we just want to clarify that. Do you have anything to add, Booty?
No, I mean, we would love a sponsor, and definitely mom is not sponsoring us. So. We've tried.
It is very supportive emotionally, psychologically. She's very supportive of us and all of our endeavors. She always has been, really, but
Yes. Yeah. She did ask if she subscribed, would she have to pay something?
yes,
Nobody has to pay anything.
right. So let's just start off though by thanking all of the people who do listen and who listen in spite of the fact that mom is not paying them, that they listen of their own volition. It makes us even more verklempt to know that you're not on mom's payroll. So Booty, what is our recipe for this, our 30th episode?
Once again, it calls for a drink. I like to
Yes.
say that every other episode. This one is from my friend Layla or Lila or Laylita, as her website is called, Laylita.com. And it is for her amazing melon sangria. I first had this when I had a bouquet from the parents of my preschool, and Layla used it to photograph her sangria. Although you don't actually see that bouquet on the website. I don't know what happened there. I think it might have been on an Instagram post or something. But anyway, because she was using my bouquet, I got to taste the sangria, and it is so good. It's so refreshing. It's a perfect thing for summer. It is a lot of prep because you don't have to ball up the melons. And in fact, when I was making this, my daughter said that that's the only time I ever ball up melons was to make this sangria. It is kind of true.
You can be so critical.
I know. And she says in the recipe, you can just cube your melons, which is faster. But anyway, the nice thing is you can put some of your melon balls in the freezer and make melon ball ice cubes. She calls for watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew. Any mix of whatever melons are good would be great. But the advantage of the watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew is the colors. It's just really pretty. And so you're gonna put about 3 cups of the melon balls in a pitcher with a quarter cup of grappa. And grappa is a distilled grape.
But it's not a wine.
It's a brandy.
Okay.
And then a tablespoon or a couple tablespoons of honey and the juice of a lime. And so you're going to let that sit for a while in the fridge, an hour to 2 hours. And then you're gonna add a bottle of Moscato wine. So you don't have to use grappa. You could use vodka or rum. She likes the grappa with the honey and the Moscato because it has, and the honeydew, like it all has that sort of honey
Oh, okay.
flavor.
Yeah.
But you could use another type of wine. I actually used Prosecco and I thought that was really good. And then when you serve it, you can use your ice cubes. Put your ice cubes in and then pour your sangria with some of the melon balls that aren't frozen in there. And then, you, of course, you want to do your garnishes of mint and lime.
And then a little splash of like seltzer at the end or sparkling water.
Yes. So it has a really nice sparkle, sweetness, but I actually didn't find it overly sweet. I do like sweet things. But certain siblings used to call me candy and gum.
That's true. We did call you that. Yep. Like candy and gum.
Because that's pretty much all I ate growing up. So for the mocktail, she says omit the Moscato and the grappa and replace it with sparkling white grape juice and sparkling lemonade.
That would be good.
Yeah, that would be really
Oh,
good.
I didn't try that. I made the melon ball. Well, I actually didn't have a melon baller, but I had a little like cookie scoop that you use for cookie. That's, well, it's like a little ice cream scoop that's got the little thing that pushes the ice cream out. I used that. It was small. I have to say, when I looked at Layla's melon balls, hers were way more perfect than mine.
Yeah, mine were.
I did have a little bit of melon ball envy.
Well, if you watch the video of her doing it, you'll see that there's a lot of in between.
Yes.
She's doing a whole, she's not like, I was trying to get as many melon balls out of my melon as possible, whereas she's going for perfection. So fewer balls, but they're going to be perfect.
The Yankee spirit in me felt it was a little wasteful because, yeah, I was trying to, and then I'd get this ball that had like, it was like it had been bombed,
Right.
this sort of scoop taken out. But I did like her video. I did discover her video after I had already balled the melons because I thought I knew how to do it. And I was like, huh, mine not so good. But I will say that there are chickens that are going to be very happy because I don't know if you know this, but one of chickens' favorite things is actually the rind of any kind of melon, like watermelon or honeydew or cantaloupe. They will literally eat that rind so that it's almost as thin as a piece of paper. Like you eat. So they are going to be so excited, my neighbor's chickens, that not only are they getting the rinds, but they're getting the rinds with all the good stuff left
Right.
over from the melon balls. Yeah.
So good.
So I tried the melons. I tried adding a vodka. I didn't have any grappa, so I tried adding like a vodka and triple sec and seltzer, and that was good. With the right kind of seltzer. Lime was not the right kind of seltzer. I'm very excited to try it though, actually, with the Moscato. I was trying to sort of make a recipe that would be good for young adults. Well, drinking age young adults. The big thing is the hard seltzers. So I was trying to make a version of that with the hard seltzer. They're not big wine drinkers. I don't know what's the matter with them. But really nice summer drink. And I love having the melon balls frozen in the fridge. The trick to doing that is you freeze them flat on a cookie sheet. Otherwise, you'll get a melon ball block. And then once they're completely frozen, you can put them in a bag and then they'll come out easily one at a time as opposed to having a melon ball brick.
Yes. I love having any kind of frozen fruit. It's so nice to have you feel like, especially if you're not having anything alcoholic, you feel like you're still having a special drink.
Yeah, and I think even, yeah, just adding this and keeping it nice and cold, I think that's just a great idea for the summer. And Having it on hand for the moment, whenever the moment strikes you that you need something special.
Yes.
And then there's a way that all of that labor is kind of a gift to your future self.
True. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you the story. I had a student who came in and wanted to drop Spanish. He said, I don't want to take Spanish. And I said, well, you're going to have to take a language later. And he said, yeah, that's a problem for future me. And I had never heard that before, that the idea of future me. And
Yeah.
so I was like, well, present you is making a problem for future you. This has become part of our sort of family lexicon that we'll say, well, is that going to be a gift for future you? You do it, and present you does it now, and then it's a gift for future you. And then future you will thank past you for the gift that you've given. Yeah. So I feel that frozen melon balls fall under the category of a gift for future you.
Yes, definitely.
Tell me about your trip, because that was quite an adventure.
Oh, yes, on my mother-in-law's bucket list, you may remember her ratatouille, Nana's ratatouille, was to go on an Alaskan cruise. And funny enough, mom had gone on an Alaskan cruise in the 70s. And I can only imagine, I said, see if you can find any pictures of it. And she said, and we'll put this in. She found her sketchbook
Oh.
because I was curious what the glaciers looked like, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, gonna have to look that up online because all we have is her sketchbook. And I don't know how accurate the sketchbook is, but anyway, I haven't seen it yet. You might remember there was a picture of mom and dad. And dad was wearing a fisherman's sweater.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
There was some kind of dress up night that was on the cruise. And he's got a coat hanger as a fishing hook. And mom has on a fancy dress. Mom couldn't seem to find that picture, so I don't know. But anyway. So the cruise was amazing. And I have to say, going to Alaska is great for wearing all your hand knits. Our first stop, so we left from Seattle and we were about 2 days at sea, which is nice because you kind of get to know, well, the buffet. And you get to know, like, where is the gym and where, I mean, it takes a while just to figure out what's the front of the ship and the back of the ship and where your room is at.
How many people were on the
I
cruise today?
think there were a couple thousand.
Oh my God.
It's not the biggest. We saw ships that were like 4,000.
Oh my God.
So this is kind
Small.
of on the smaller-ish side of the cruises. There are cruises that are like 500 people, which would be great, but they're very expensive. And so I had all my hand knits, and our first stop was Ketchikan, and it was pouring rain. So we got off, but we're determined to get out there because
You're going to catch the sights in Ketchikan. Yeah.
catch the sights in Ketchikan. We're only there for a few hours. I mean, that's I think the downside of cruises is that your time is so limited and you're all getting off at the same time. You got a couple thousand people that are fighting to get on whatever, do whatever is the local highlight. But people were not beating a path to the yarn shop, but we did. And they were very friendly. So it was called Fabulous Fiber Arts and More. And I took a little video, so I'll upload that. They were very nice about admiring. So I came in with all my hand knits. My mother-in-law had her hand knits. And my son, of course, was wearing his hand knits. And I was like, okay, show everybody your sweater. That was a lot of fun. And I did buy one skein of yarn, which I'll show you. I did not buy the kiviute, which I was pronouncing wrong.
Oh,
The kiviute is made from musk ox, which is hard to say. And it was $140 for a 50 gram skein. So
Wow.
I passed on that, but it was very
It
pretty.
is supposed to be the warmest, isn't it? The warmest and lightest weight wool that you can buy.
And softest, I think.
And softest, yeah.
Did actually have some that my husband bought years ago when he went to Alaska, and I made a headband out of it because you're not getting much, and it was not $140 back then. I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that theirs was a different weight. It was like a lace weight. It was dyed, so there's lace involved in that, and I think the one I had was undyed. Anyway, this is what I bought, which was a local dyer. So
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
just, yeah, it's just a merino and called Marvelous Merino. The colors are pretty. So
Yeah, it's kind of a blue and purple, it looks like. It looks like a variegated. It's kind of hard.
yeah, slightly speckled. Its color is sage, and I would call it like a aqua.
Oh, okay.
And the name of the company is Raven Frog Fibers. Oh, and it's actually so Sitka, Alaska, and Provo, Utah. Could have gone to Utah. They also had quite a bit of fabric in there.
Oh,
So,
was it like a quilting shop too, or
yeah, they also had
sort of
some
a craft shop? Hey.
craft chapeau. Not huge, but it was. Some Alaskan things, so that was fun.
Was that the only yarn store that you went to?
Yeah, there wasn't really we didn't have a lot of downtime in the other place. We stopped in Juneau and in Skagway, and we had full agendas for those days, so there wasn't really time to wander around much and go to yarn shops. And I found out after I got back that pretty much the exact same time frame, there was a yarn cruise that was sponsored by Tin Can Knits and Hohe Locatelli, who we love.
It was an Alaskan cruise?
Yes, they were
Oh my God.
basically going to the exact same places. Like, could have been on the knitting cruise. I don't know how much fun that would have been for.
Well, your mother-in-law would have liked it, I bet, because
Yes.
it would have fed two birds with one seed. It would have gotten the Alaska cruise, check that off the bucket list, and Yarnapalooza.
Right. Yes. Well, it was a Grocery Girls. So we could
Oh.
have been. So next time we're going to do that because who knew?
I know.
On the bucket list, bossy, is Arnie and Carlos have a Norwegian cruise. I think we should go on.
I would do that if it was a yarn cruise. I have to tell you that I have never been on a cruise. My one somewhat experience was when my husband and I were on our honeymoon in the Cayman Islands, and we had gone there specifically so that we could scuba dive. You have to do a certain number of hours in the pool, and then you have to do your open water dives. The guy who was the dive master on the open water dive was this guy from Texas. He was kind of taking a vacation, but he was the dive master for this giant cruise ship. But he was taking a break from that. And so we were on a very small thing. So he was explaining he was, a dive master on his cruise ship. And I said, "Oh, well, what's that? That sounds like a great job." And he goes, "Listen." And he had this great Texas twang. He said, "There's only three kinds of people that go on cruises: the nearly dead, the overfed, and the newly wed."
Well, I gotta say, we didn't see too many newlyweds on the Alaskan cruise.
They were going more tropical places, I bet. But yeah, but that always stuck in my head, and every time a cruise thing, I can hear his voice saying, and he said, "You go out there and look at coral heads the size of potato chips."
That sounds great.
That sounds great. Yeah. The one place I would go though would be a place like Alaska, because so much of the scenery you kind of have to see it from.
A boat, yeah, or Norway. We went on a cruise to Greece one time, and that's good from the standpoint of you get an overview, the scenery is absolutely breathtaking, and then you know which places you want to go back. But what you don't get, I think, on a cruise is just that time in a place. We wound up in Skagway. We went to on a train ride that takes you either up the mountains or down the mountains, and that was breathtaking. And that so that was really nice because it was like, okay, this is the we have the boat view, and now we have the land view. But yeah, in terms of visiting a town, you're not going to get a very good feel for walking around. But I was very happy that I went, very lucky.
Was it kind of like the Hana Pepe lookout experience?
You do get a good sense of the water. You're sort of there. Like we were looking at a glacier for, well, you had to get up early, which, I don't like to do, but they were sitting at the glacier for several hours. So that was nice. And it was a really good view. We basically had one rainy day, which was Ketchikan. It was a great experience. I did make two hats from the National Park Hats book that we talked about in a previous episode. And I made the bear one, which is on the cover. And then I made a whale one for my son.
Oh, yeah. Did you see any whales?
We did not see any whales, which was sad. They were not attracted by the hat.
That's that, you know what? That's on them, I feel like. Yeah.
We might have seen whales, or more likely, having gone to the whale lecture, they were porpoises.
So the porpoises were probably like, why didn't you put us on a hat?
Mama.
That seems like racism.
We should call it the porpoise hat, because I don't know how different, really from a distance. I mean, this sort of artistic license. Porpoises tend to be in just by themselves, whereas whales will be in a pod.
Oh, I
So
didn't know that. Huh.
you'll see more than one. And whales, their tails are like fingerprints. So you have these quite unique patterns on their tails. And they've named the whales, based on the patterns. There was one mother whale who was named Flame, and then all of her offspring were like Spark. And
I love it.
that's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great information about whales. Wish I could remember any of it.
Had you had some cocktails by the time you were going to these lectures? That was happening. Yeah.
No, the lecture's in the morning.
Oh, okay.
No, there was a naturalist on board, and her lectures were really good, very informative, and yeah.
Did a lot of people go to the lectures?
Yeah, they were quite well attended. Not maybe as well attended as the acrobatic shows in the evenings.
The magicians or the magicians.
No, they didn't have magicians, but yeah, the performances. Yeah, the performances were actually really good. They were very talented. One of the things that's really cool that whales do, we did not see this, but it would have been cool, is they bubble feed. They sort of create all these, they go around in a circle and create bubbles, and that gets all the fish in one area, and then they come up and feed. And the whale pods are a matriarchal society. So the female matriarch will be in the center where all the best fish are, and you'll see her kind of at the tallest, getting all the good stuff. And the naturalist said that people think that they'll say, "I know that I saw a whale eat a seagull." It turns out the whale's throat is really, it's about the size of your two fists held together. So
Oh.
there's no way that that seagull went down to the throat of the whale. So if the seagull does go in the mouth of a whale, which they can do, they'll come out again.
They spit it out.
They spit it out. They might not be terribly happy, but
Or alive.
they're alive, they're a little traumatized, but yeah, they're not going down. And she much prefers orca as opposed to killer whale.
So Jonah probably wasn't swallowed by a whale either, if a seagull couldn't make it down there. I'm thinking maybe that story is apocryphal. Yeah. Were you like mom? Mom said that when she went on a cruise, they serve three courses, and so she would always have the last course, which was dessert. And somebody commented that she was the only person they knew who had dessert at every meal.
Oh yeah, that was me for sure. I mean, you got to try something. It's included.
Yeah, that would be like, yeah, because you've already paid for it. So,
Writing paper. Surprisingly, I didn't gain that much weight, if any. Because I think you're also walking a lot. And my son and I did go to the gym, so worked out. And it's really fun to, you have this amazing view when you're in the gym. So, but being on the elliptical and the boat is going back and forth, and then you're trying to balance
Oh.
that, and that's kind of another set of challenges there that I
Okay.
was not prepared for. But what's really fun is to do the rowing machine.
Oh
This
yeah,
is,
that's good. Yeah.
you're rowing the boat. You're
You're
doing
rowing
all the
the boat.
work.
All the work. Yeah. That is excellent. Well, what are you knitting these days?
So I am working on the sweater for my son. I think I already talked about it, right?
The Pokemon.
The Pokemon sweater. So I frogged what I'd made. I frogged what I made because it just had no stretch, and
Oh.
I don't think it,
Because of the color work.
yes, because of holding it. So I decided to, I'm still doing a tin can knits pattern, but it's a different one, and I'm using Brooklyn Tweed Shelter, and I'm gonna just duplicate stitch the Pokeballs on after.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I've done a third of one, and it does have way more stretch. I think it'll be fine, and it's not that hard to do. And then I'll duplicate stitch a Pokemon character on the front,
Oh.
just past the sleeve divide.
You're not on Sleeve Island yet.
No, not sleeve island. But what about you?
Well, I'm happy to report that I made the deadline of. Remember, I was doing the baby blanket for our neighbor's daughter. And this is kind of a big deal because she is the first baby. I mean, I remember her when she was little, made me feel really old. And now she's having a baby. So that's kind of a big deal because she's the first baby on the street that's having a baby, at least in our time. So I did engage in some, well, depending on your perspective, I would call it power knitting, where you're frantically trying to finish up. It could also be called panic knitting. Remember how I talked about like that sweet spot where you've got a deadline, but you feel like you can make it? Well, we jumped over that line and we were getting up early, knitting it. I was worried that I was making a placemat, that it was going to be the world's tiniest baby blanket. When I washed it and blocked it the day of the shower, it was washable wool, so I blocked it, and then an hour before the shower, I put it in the dryer to wash it for the rest of the way, and that fluffed it up and stuff. But it actually, when I was knitting it, it was 25 inches wide by about 30 to 31 inches. But when I washed it and blocked it, it was about 29 inches by like 38 inches. So I felt that was a respectable baby blanket size.
Very nice.
But because I was doing all that, I didn't have time to go out and buy like a nice baby gift bag. So I'd put it in this plain white gift bag. But I had some really nice wide ribbon that you, well, I think it was actually blanket edging. So I ironed that. And so it was like about 5 inches wide. And it was this pretty baby blue color. I put a big bow on it. And then the other thing I did, I like to do this for first time mothers, is I made some earrings from moonstone, because moonstone is associated with childbirth and calm serenity. And the stones are supposed to have those powers, so it's good to wear them while you're expecting. So I wrapped that all up. And then we went to the baby shower, and I learned that the latest thing in baby shower etiquette is that you don't open the gifts while the people are there. But the problem is, I told all of my neighbor friends that I had made this blanket, and they wanted to see the blanket. So my friend went over and took the, she's like, "Well, it's in the gift bag." And she just opened it up and held it up, and they all admired it. And then she put it back in, and we pretended like it had never been opened, even though it clearly looked like it had been opened. And we all were like, "They're not opening it. What is it?" But apparently that's the new baby shower etiquette. Well, first thing is, it's Jack and Jill. So husbands and wives. It's not a woman girl thing
Oh.
anymore. It's Jack and Jill,
Oh, that's nice.
which is nice. Yeah. So all the guys were there, and we had good food and stuff, but you don't open the gifts. So
Who knew?
I know, I had no idea, but it was very nice. And now I'm going to, her baby is due in mid-July. So I'm going to start working on the bunny that matches with the same yarn as the baby blanket. But I ended up really liking the pattern. When I blocked it out, you know how sometimes you do a pattern and you like it, and then you wash it and you're like, "Oh, that's not what I thought it was going to look like." But this was really, really nice. It's the Slip Stitch Sunshine Pattern 25 from 60 More Quick Baby Blankets from the Cascade Yarns Superwash collection. I took a picture of it when it was blocked, but I still don't understand why the finished measurements were 13 and a half inches wide. But like I said, mine ended up being about double that. But yeah, it was a really nice pattern, really nice and thick. I think she's gonna like sort of drape it over the crib. I think she's worried about washing it, even though it's superwash wool. And you
Well, and you did dry it even because a lot of times, they'll say you can wash it in the machine on gentle and all this kind of stuff, but don't dry it. And you, since you
Well,
dried it.
yeah, and I have to say, I can't really wash anything on gentle, because, and this is a hint for our listeners, when you're cleaning your washing machine, don't use those bleach wipes, because I wiped all of the instructions of white towels, gentle. No idea. I don't have the instruction manual anymore. So I just only used two cycles that I remembered, but I don't know which one. Like, I use the regular, and then there's like one for whites and towels and stuff. So yeah, so I don't know what the gentle cycle is on our washing machine, because I cleaned it so well that I cleaned off all of those things. And that seems to me to be a design flaw, I have to say. But anyway, yeah. So in
That's
the spirit
funny.
of making other people feel better about it.
Yes.
But yes, and I
Yeah.
do find that putting something in after it's almost dry in the dryer is good for removing the dog hairs that our husky has contributed to the project.
Yeah, but that's the big gift.
Yes, that's the, yes, not everybody likes dog hairs on their knitting project, but it was good, and it was fun to I was pleased with the way it It came up. Well, Booty, I think we're about at the end of our time. We've covered a cocktail. We've covered cruises for the newlywed, the nearly dead, and the overfed, and the knitting adventures.
I feel like I am none of those things.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't say you were, but. Well, I thought the point of a cruise in part was to enjoy the buffet.
Exactly. I did go back to the buffet several times. It was lovely. I got home and it was like, what? Nobody's making me all this food. Nobody's coming to chat with me and be nice to me.
I know. Well, that's what makes it a good trip is that it's different from your everyday life
Yes.
where you have to make your own food
Eat.
and you have to be nice to other people instead of people being nice to you. Thank you again to all of our listeners who are not on mom's payroll. That was a joke. Just kidding. That clear. And I think it's time to say, whatever you do,
Don't
don't
knit
knit
like
like my
my sister.